Welcome back to Farm Talk, second hour. And head over and visit with our friend Mike Clemens, who happens to farm in that Wimbledon, North Dakota area. And Mike, it's been a little while since I have talked to you. I don't like not talking to you every so often because you're always involved in something. And you're like, oh, did you know I was doing this? And it's like, what? So got to keep track of Mike. Where is Mike today? So are the machines put away? Are you cleaning everything up or what's going on?
You know, it's just been an unbelievable fall here. You know, we've been so used to having blizzards, you know, in the middle of October and just, you know, fighting the battle to get the crop in and everything. This year, you know, we had that little bit of snow there. It must have been about the last week of October, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And we were thinking, oh, boy, here we go again. We still got crops out in the field. I know neighbors had some beans out yet. And, boy, it looked like it was going to set in for the winter, which we're kind of used to, you know, about that deer hunting weekend is when the ground freezes up and everything just turns into winter, and we'll see you next spring. But, I mean, we had unbelievable the last 3 weeks of weather that everybody got their crops off, and it looks really good out there. A lot of field work got done. A lot of corn stalks got worked that normally the ground's frozen. We're taking the corn off, so that was kind of nice that we got that done. We got some fertilizer on this fall. We got fields ready to plant corn next spring. I mean, it's looking pretty good right now.
You're not used to this because you've been kind of getting the shaft, especially with like PP and other things in recent years. So it's kind of nice for you to actually get somewhat of a normal finish to a season.
Yeah, it really was. It just, you know, think of last year. I mean, it was just bone dry, 8 feet down. We had no subsoil moisture coming into 23 thinking, boy, this is a year where I don't know if it's going to turn out so well. And then the snows came, and, of course, my building fell down last December 15th. So that started the whole winter out with a terrible start. And then, you know, the spring showed up, and a lot of moisture, a lot of snow. They had to be melted, and then rainy spell there. And then late getting in the ground, and we're going, oh, my gosh, this is going to be kind of turn out to be disastrous. But it ended up a pretty decent year for us. You know, we did have some PP again, but, you know, not as much as we've had.
Okay.
And, but the crops, you know, really weathered through everything, and we had pretty respectable yields for us this year.
What's left in your neck of the woods? It sounds like you, almost everything is off. I think that's the way it is in a lot of areas, but there's a few stragglers. So what's left for you? Or not maybe for you, but in your area?
I saw one field of soybeans they were finishing up on today. And, you know, one guy's got a little bit of corn out yet. He had some combine trouble. So, I mean, that's kind of delaying him a little bit there. And
okay.
Got to get something lined up for that to finish up. But, it's pretty well all done, all wrapped up. And, you know, the sloughs, though, it's amazing. The smaller ones are all dried up because, you know, we had 5 inches of rain during the month of October, rain and the snow mix, you know. And so we're really saturated going into the fall here.
Mm-hmm.
Field work was great. I mean, plenty of moisture, maybe a little too much in some places. The bigger potholes, you know, they've got water in them. And we're thinking that, okay, let's that cattail slough there, let's go work that thing up. And you get in about 50 feet on the thing going, well, I guess that's the end of that program and move on to something else. And I even got time to go out and dig some rocks out with the payloader that, you know, I had spotted during the fall harvest here to go dig them out. So don't have to worry about wrecking some equipment on that. And
I'm just amazed that
those things cleaned up.
I was just going to say, but you didn't end up doing a lot of propane. Is with all these little flash rains and just everything in the fall, your crop actually dried down for the most part on its own. I mean, that was kind of amazing.
Yeah, right. It was pretty, you know, we started on corn actually first this year. The beans, you know, we didn't get that late frost or earlier frost to kill the beans and get them to dry down. So we're sitting around the farm there looking for something to do. I said, well, let's put the corn head on and let's go stick our nose in some of these fields and see what they're like for yield and moisture and things like that. So we were running into 25 to 30 moisture corn on those early fields there, and we probably knocked off a couple hundred acres there early and got a good feel of what the corn crop was going to be like. And then the beans came around finally, and And then we got onto the beans, and I mean, it was just a good streak that we had there. We had good harvesting conditions. I think this is the first year in many years we haven't had to dry any soybeans, that we were able to get them all off and in good shape. And then now with the new soybean crush plant coming in at Spearwood there, we got a lot of beans tucked away for delivery out into June, July, and some in August, I believe. And so we're going to see how that program is going to work because, you know, farmers out in our area here, and you think about it, that plant needs 150,000 bushels of beans when they get going full strength. That's a lot of beans every day, and that's millions. I figure it'd be about 1.4 million acres of soybeans got to go into that plant there. So we're going to have to start learning how to store our soybeans, you know, and get the right setup, to, you know, with proper bins and aeration on. And so this year, we're not quite there yet. We haven't pulled the trigger on a new dedicated soybean bin, but I think after the guys get done unloading about a dozen or 13 of these 3,000 or 4,000 bushel bins with soybeans in, they're going to say, I think we should get a nicer bin with power sweep in it for next year.
There you go. Hey, you were truck number one, weren't you, to Green Bison? That was kind of a cool deal.
Yeah, that was kind of a honor to be able to do that. You know, we had just to clean and sweep the bottom of the bins out. We had a semi-load of beans left in the bottom of a bin. I said, called them up, and I said, hey, do you need a truck number one to come in? Because I got a load of beans that I could do that with. And they said, sure. So we got that all lined up. And what was really fun about the whole thing is, you know, my grandson, Jack, out at the farm there, he wanted to know if he could be right along with me the next morning. I said, Jack, be at the shop at 7 o'clock, and we're going to take that load down there. And, you know, it took us, I think we were gone about 5 hours, but, you know, because you had to go through all the staging at the plant there. Right. Because load number one, you had to test the probing out. You had to test to make sure the ticket was being printed right. You know, there's different stations that you got to, you know, weigh in at and get doors open to get into the place, so everything had to be dialed in, and so we were the first load to get to go through there. So
that's pretty
awesome. Was quite the honor, and I told my grandson Jack, I said, Jack, you're going to be hauling beans here for the next 50 years. So that's kind of a real eye opener for him, thinking about, wow, you know, my whole career is going to be hauling beans into the plant here. So
yeah, you had a chance. You
know, we still got our export. We still got our export market, our local elevators, but a lot of them, I imagine, in the future are going to be maybe shuffling beans over there when, you know, depending on what, if the market for the exports is the greater of the two or hauling it into the crush plant. You know, that's going to be a big thing.
Yeah, I just want to ask you real quick because, Mike, you and I were talking earlier that and you said you actually got a chance to speak at Green Bison recently. What was that all about?
Well, that was the ribbon cutting ceremony that they have there, and they were looking for a speaker, and Mike Keller, I've been, you know, in close contact with him during the whole construction process there from day one, and you know, just talking about farming and how what the farmers would like to see at the plants, and how, you know, things got to be designed and you know, that type of thing, just, you know, touching base with him all the time. And so he said, hey, would you be willing to step up to the mic there and talk about the farmers' benefit and impact to the community, you know, with the crushing plant there? And I said, sure, I can do that.
That's awesome. I should ask you real quick before we got about a minute left, Mike, but between what's going on in Spiritwood and now what's coming online with the ethanol plants and everything that's going on in the Castleton area, how much of an impact will that have on the growers in your area?
Well, it really is going to have a huge impact because, I mean, talk about delivering locally for the guys at Castleton and, you know, Cass County, Barnes County, Stutzman County, Lemoore, Griggs, Foster. I mean, we're going to be pulling beans from a lot of counties in North Dakota into these two plants.
Right.
I really got to believe, you know, 25, 50 cent pop in price that we would normally get just being held just to haul it to our local elevators, that that that's going to be a big thing. And the local elevators are also going to be participating in this too, because, you know, farmers can't store everything on their farm, so they're still going to have to utilize that, their facilities. And you know, my focus was always on adding value to everything we grow on our farm here. So, you know, my first mission was to get the ethanol industry up and rolling in North Dakota. So when I was on the corn growers, you know, I was seeing what was going on in all the other states with the ethanol industry and how I was adding value to their corn production, whether you were an investor or just being able to haul in. And you know, we're probably grinding about 40 to 45% of the national corn now up for ethanol production. So talk about a huge market that has been. And so it's just great to have the soybeans follow suit now and have a market for the renewable diesel that, you know, this oil would be going out to the refinery out of Dickinson, North Dakota to make renewable diesel fuel. So talk about a real bonus to the producers out here.
That's right. And I should correct myself. The new North Dakota soybean plant in Castleton, near Castleton. I always mix that up with the ethanol plant over there. So is the one in Castleton, that new crush plant, is that operational? Is that up and running right now?
No, it still isn't. You know, I'm not too close to that project, but just driving by it, I mean, they've got a lot of the infrastructure already built on site there. And you know, I heard that they're going to be accepting beans next harvest. So harvest at 24. So, you know, I'd say those producers should be starting to follow up with their merchandisers over there for delivery next fall.
Well, they're looking or expected to crush 42.5 million bushels of soybeans in the first year, just there. So that's a lot of soybeans.
No, Fairwood's, they're both about identical size plants, too. That's a lot of soybeans to start grinding up.
Well, you're going to have to take your wife on a vacation now. No excuses for you because you're done, right? I mean, now it's vacation time.
We're going to take a trip out and see our daughter out in Utah here this before Christmas, and then we'll find someplace warm to go for a week this winter, I imagine, to shorten the winter up.
It sounds good.
So it's easy to do when you don't have kids around home and, you know, going to school and that type of thing that always held you back.
No excuses.
Now my kids are all big and they're part of the operation, so that's even better yet.
All right, very good. Well, Mike, thank you so much for popping on. If I don't talk to you, happy Christmas and New Year, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you soon.